Yep. Okay. Yeah, that reminded me, Ronnie, of
you know, if you've never seen Ronnie do a rap, ask him how to do a rap. So. Yeah.
I thought of that, Randy, but I wasn't even going to mention
it. Oh, yeah, you know, you brought it up, so.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. You know, this message this morning, I think, is either meant for you individually or as a church or to myself, because it was, this morning's been a kind of an attack from different directions, but one of them that you'll probably get a kick out of, I usually print off my messages before I the sermon, so in case I lose my place or get distracted or something, I can always come back. Sometimes I'll use my iPad, and I learned a lesson on that a year or so back. Sometimes the battery just dies for no reason. But I went to print this out. I went to the church to print it out, and I got to church. There was no paper. So I printed it on the back of some paper that had already been used. Of course, I put it in upside down so it printed over the top of it. Then I went looking for paper, and I finally found paper after two stops back at Jicamo. When I went to the dollar store, and they didn't have it, so I went back to Jicamo, and they had it. So I went and printed it. But when I printed it, it came off really tiny. And then the other one came off really big in about 30 pages. So we're going to... we're going to see where God leads us today in technology and go from there. And again, I think this message this morning is, we all need this from time to time, a reminder of really, you know, about faith. You know, what is faith? What does the Bible say about faith? You know, faith is the foundation of the Christian, you know, of the Christian life. You know, we go into Christian life believing and accepting what Jesus Christ has done for us through faith, because we haven't seen him. We didn't see the cross, but we, through faith, we do that. And when God forgives our sins and he comes into our hearts, that's done through faith. And we put a faith in something that we can't see, but we know it's true, and we know his promises always come through. So, you know, but that's just the beginning of faith. You know, that's the beginning of your walk in faith. That's the salvation is step one. And there's so much more beyond that. And we're going to take a look at that this morning, about asking yourself, what role does faith play in my life? What does it do every day that I get up? How does it affect the decisions I make? How does it affect the people around me? What does faith do? So, and I want to make it personal. So what, ask that question to yourself, you know, what does faith do in my life? Ask yourself that. So today I wanted to take us through a journey, and we're going to start and end in the Bible, where I think, you know, that's where we turn to for truth. And we're going to start out in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Of course, you probably, many of you are familiar with that, is the book of faith, the chapter of faith. So turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to read the first 12 verses. And if you'll stand with me while I read this, God's word this morning. I'll give you just a second to get turned to it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen were not made of things which were visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and through it being dead, he being dead still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes by God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to the place where he would receive an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going, by the faith he dwelt in the land of the promise as a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city of the foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah also received strength to conceive, and she bore a child and was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him is as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky of the multitude, innumerable as the sands which by the seashore. Okay, you may be seated. So we have all of these people in the Bible that we read stories about. All through the Old Testament, we see all these characters that come up, men and women, and all the things that they did. And we think about, you know, wow, they really did something big. God really had a plan for them. And we sometimes think, well, you know, they did it by faith. They just stepped out and they did it. But it was a little bit more than that, I think. It was because what they did was crazy. So I want to call this morning crazy faith. You know, when we do something crazy, we do it because we're just crazy, and we do something stupid. But when we do it in crazy faith, it looks crazy to the world, but we're trusting God that He is going to be there on the other end. Take Noah, for instance. You know, he was living in a time that God, worshiping God, praying with God, talking with God, was not the norm. If it would have been the norm, God wouldn't have had to destroy the earth with water, with a flood. But because it wasn't the norm, Noah had to step out and do something crazy. You know, he was not politically correct. If they had politics back then, I'm sure they did. Now, he wasn't socially correct of doing that. Can you imagine, put yourself back in that day, and your neighbor over here is starting to build something, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and he's got this foundation out there, he's building this, and then he begins to build up, and you're thinking, what is this guy doing? And you go next door, you ask him, he said, you know, Noah, what are you building? And Noah's going to say, I'm building an ark. And the neighbor's going to say, what's an ark? And as Noah continues to build this, I can imagine people beginning to think that he has lost his mind. He has totally gone wacko, that he is building a boat. And by the way, where's the water? You know, it hadn't rained then. It hadn't anything coming. But Noah believed God enough, believed the weather forecast that it was going to rain, something he had never seen, something that he had never experienced, and a flood that they had never experienced. And he's building this boat out there. And I can imagine his family in the beginning of this thinking, Dad, what are you doing? Dad, have you been drinking too much the last few days? What are you doing? And his children are thinking, you know, well, I guess we're just going to trust Dad. And they get on board and they build this boat that is getting bigger and bigger. And keep in mind, this is not an afternoon Sunday cruiser. This is a boat that's going to house animals and food and people for an extended amount of time. And it's building it, and he gets it built, and he takes, you know, a long time to build this. And as this boat is built, Noah is still believing that God's going to do something. And he doesn't know what it is. He doesn't have any idea what that is. He, you know, Noah can't see the full path of where that's going to go. He knows he's got this boat built, and now God tells him to put the animals in it, to put the food in it, to put all the stuff in it. Again, all of these people around him are going on with their normal daily lives as Noah does something crazy, because of God, of putting his faith in God. So we need to think about that. But Noah stayed true to God all through that. And we read about Noah today because he stayed true to God and to having faith in what he did. So let's go on to Abraham for a minute. So Abraham, here you've got a guy living in his homeland, probably very comfortable, and you know, friends around, all this around, and then God comes up and says, "No," or says, "Abraham, it's time to go. I want you to go to this promised land that I'm sending you to. You're to leave your comfort zone and get out and go." And Noah's probably thinking it over. He says, "God, why would I want to do that?" And you can imagine this conversation going on, because Abraham was just like you and I. He was like, "God, why am I doing that?" And God just says, "Go. Go. I'm giving you an inheritance. You need to go." And Abraham says, "Okay, I'm trusting you, Lord, that you've got something better for me than what I've got around me, and it's out of my comfort zone." You know, I can imagine his friends and his family thinking, "That guy's nuts. Going to a foreign land at that time by foot through the wilderness to get there and to expect an inheritance that he has never seen, has never an idea what it's about." And Noah took off in the boat, but Abraham takes off and he goes, and he believes God for what that is. So we see these all through the Bible, all these stories about people listening to God and doing something the world thinks to be crazy and stupid. And you know, if all the, you know, think of David. David was just a normal guy, and he's going to fight this giant. And everybody thought that he was nuts going to fight the giant. And so they tried to put armor on him, and they tried to put, you know, the king's armor and get him all set. But that wasn't God's plan for it, was it? So David had to do what God's plan was and go out with a sling and three rocks and take care of the giant. And so we have all those stories, you know, the crossing of the Red Sea. You can imagine going through the Red Sea and seeing the water up beside you. You got to have that faith that water's not going to fall in on you. And you know, here's another crazy one, the Battle of Jericho. You know, they just marched around for just marching around. And they're thinking, "Okay, Joshua, when are we going to attack?" And God took care of it because they had the faith in that. So I want to read that story, the verse 1 again. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by the elders obtained a good testimony." So let's break this down a little bit. So what is faith? How can we define what faith is? What I've got written down here is trusting in something that you can't prove. Noah couldn't prove that God told him to build a boat. Abraham couldn't prove that God told him to go to the land. Joshua couldn't prove until after it happened, until the walls of Jericho would fall down. So faith is that believing in something because God tells you that it's going to happen, and it happens. That's what faith is. But at the same time, you know, we need to have, this talks about hope, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, we hope for things, and sometimes we hope for things and we're just wishing for them. Sometimes God doesn't speak to us, so we wish for things to happen. We wish for things to happen. But faith is deeper than that. It's hoping in what God has promised you. Hoping in what the Word of God calls you to do. Hoping in what the Word of God is telling you to do. And it's deeper than that. So many times, you know, we have, and we're going to look at this a little bit, little faith and big faith here in a minute, but we have a little faith in some things, and some things we don't. I mean, there's things in your life that I believe that you know God will take care of, without a doubt. And there's things in our lives that we wonder, is God going to take care of these things? Because we may have asked God for those things in the past, and we didn't see how God delivered that. So we begin to think, God's not going to take care of that part of my life, so I got to do that myself. I've got to do that myself. And so we want to be careful about losing hope in what God has promised, because God wants us to put His faith in Him and not ourselves. Because a lot of times when we want something and we ask God for it, you know, we pray for it and we don't see it delivered right there, we want to try to do that ourselves. You know, can you imagine if David, we'll use David, if David would have said, "Yeah, you guys, you know you're right. God told me to go fight the giant with just three rocks and a sling, but I think I'll take the armor." And imagine David going out there in the armor, unable to move around, unable to swing his sling, and what would happen at that point. So we've got to be careful and follow God in His plan and not try to force His plan into our lives. So that's crazy faith. And when we step out and do something, and some people may think it's crazy. Some people may think it's crazy for us to come to church at a time like this. Some people may think it's crazy to live the way the Bible calls us to live. And so we've got to be strong in our faith. So the other thing is faith often begins where understanding ends. You know, faith, when we don't understand what's going on, then that's when we truly have to put our faith in what God's got our plan for our life. You know, our plan may be going this way, and God says, no, I want you to go this way. But we think, I don't understand why we're going that way, God. But we got to trust Him to do that. So I'm going to jump to another story in the New Testament. You turn with me to Matthew 14:22. I'll give you a few minutes there. Matthew 14:22. This is when Jesus' ministry is going on, and Jesus and His disciples was on the land and just getting done with a gathering, and Jesus goes on, He says in 22, immediately Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side, while He sent the multitude away, and when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up to the mountains by Himself to pray. Now when the evening came, He was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled and saying, it is a ghost, and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it is You, command me to you on the water. And He said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was blustrous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out His hands and caught him and said to him, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? And when he got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped Him, saying, truly, You are the Son of God. So let's look at this story. And setting aside the piece that the miracle of Jesus walking on the water, because that's a sermon in itself, and that's a whole story there. But I want to focus a little bit on the boat, the disciples, Peter, and then what Jesus said. So here's some of the facts I want you to pull from this. Is that Jesus had His disciples get into the boat, and they did. They got into the boat, and they decided to obey Jesus and go out into the water. They had faith that Jesus knew what He was talking about, so they got in the boat, and they began to go out across the lake. Second thing is, Jesus sent them to the other side of the water, knowing that they were going to hit the windstorm, fully knowing that they were going to get in a windstorm in this boat. And we'll call this the boat of salvation. You know, they were all believers in Jesus. They were in the boat. They were headed across the sea, but they had this windstorm to come up. And the third one is the boat ran into the windstorm. Then all of a sudden, during this windstorm, they see Jesus walking out to them. So they're in the middle of the storm, and I'm sure, you know, they're afraid. I don't know if you've ever been out in the middle of the lake. I remember one time, and Shirley remembers this, I'm sure, we went to Canada on a fishing trip, and we were out in a boat in the middle of the lake. And we were in, the wind came up just like that. And the waves were so big, we would go down below the waves, and we would lose sight of Glenn and Shirley, and then we would come up, and it would go like this. And so being in a windstorm in the middle of the lake in a little boat is scary. And it's, as we, you know, live our life, there's times we're in a windstorm, even though we're Christians, and we got to realize that. And we got to realize that God knows that He's sending us sometimes in a windstorm, and we grow from that as we do that. So I grew because I know I don't want to go out in the middle of that lake anymore with a boat, but without a little bitty motor. So you grow in various ways, right? So the boat that they were in ran into a windstorm. So they see Jesus coming, and it's interesting that Jesus is coming to them and gets close enough that they can see him, isn't it? They see him, they focus on him. And again, them being afraid and thinking it's a ghost, we'll go into that, but they see Jesus coming. And then Peter calls out, and Peter's, all the kind of a gung-ho type of guy. He goes, "Hey, Lord, tell me to come to you and I will." And so Peter reaches out and says, "Lord, I believe. I want to come to you. I want to come to you because you're the one we believe in." So Peter gets out of the boat. But first, what did God say? Or what did Jesus say? Jesus said, "Come." So Peter just didn't get out of the boat on his own and start walking. If Peter would have jumped out of the boat on his own and without having Jesus say, "Yeah, this is the direction I want you to come," what do you think would have happened? He would have probably just sunk just like that. Because, the law of gravity and the law of buoyancy doesn't work good with people walking on top of the water unless that's what God's got planned. So as Peter steps out of the boat, after Jesus says, "Come," he goes and gets on the water and begins to walk across the water. And I can imagine the other disciples thinking, "I want to do that." But none of them said, "Hey, Lord, tell me to come." They didn't have that much faith in Jesus at that time, I guess. But anyhow, Peter starts going across the water. And as he goes across the water, he begins to take his eyes off of Jesus and he looks at the sea. And he begins to sink a little bit. And then he calls out to the Lord. And Jesus says, "Oh, ye of little faith." And I bring this up because I think this is a good representation of our Christian life. We get in this boat of salvation and we believe that, we're going through storms, that's okay, but it's our comfort zone. It's our comfort zone that we're setting in the boat and we're secure in that boat because we trust that boat. We trusted that boat enough to get in it. We trusted that boat enough to go across the water. And even in the storms, we're trusting that boat. But sometimes we've got to get out of that boat. And we've got to do something more. Abraham and Noah and David and Joshua and all these people, they were not in the boat. They were out in the sea walking and doing what God had called them to do. So there's times when we have to jump out and we have to do that. We have to get out of that boat. We have to do that. So, but it's crazy. So what does that look like? What would something look crazy to our neighbors today as Christians that we might do? I wrote a few things down here. If you go talk to your neighbor about Christ, that may seem really crazy to you because you may not be an outspoken person. You may not have that gift of evangelism, but God still wants you to tell others what Jesus has done for you. And that seems crazy sometimes to us. Because if you've ever done that, sometimes you're going to get laughed at. Sometimes you're going to get people's going to be angry with you because it's not the norm in our society today anymore. Unfortunately, it's not. As we look around, if you look around this community of Elkton and Wheatland and Humansville and all this, how many people are never set their foot inside of a church, or maybe they did one time and never go back? And it's not our fault, but we have the responsibility to reach out to those people and invite them, don't we? And that is out of our comfort zone. Because again, if you're not outgoing, very vocal, very spoken out, then it's hard for us to do. It's hard for us to do that. But we're called to do that. But sometimes we have to do that when God calls us to do that. We can't force that either. So we have to be attentive to God's word and to what He's telling us to do before we jump out of that boat. Because if you go to somebody and God hasn't led you to go to that person, you may make things worse and you get angry and mad and say, well, and start arguing back and forth about what God is. And so you've got to be attentive to what God wants you to do, no matter what that is. Whether that's quit a job and go on to something else, whether that's retire, whether that's stick with your job, whether that's go for something really hard in your life, that you haven't done before. You know, and it may be as simple as something just between you and God that you need to stop doing in your life. You know, stop whatever that is that God's laid on your heart that you need to quit. But there's also things that if God's saying, hey, you need to start reading your Bible a little bit more every day. That, again, that's trusting God that He's got something in store for you. Abraham, when he went to the new land, he didn't know what it was. And sometimes when we're prompted to read God's Word, until we get into it and we read it for a couple days, we don't know what God's got in store for us. And we need to be that open to what God has. So as I kind of begin to wrap up and close, you know, we think about those stories that, you know, God doesn't always show us the full path. You know, God didn't show Noah that where he was going to land the boat and the animals would get out. You know, for all Noah knew, he was going to be on that boat forever. And for all Abraham knew, he would never make it to the new land. But if they put their faith in a God that they couldn't see, that they couldn't prove to others, but they believed that that would be. So the difference in having faith and living out your faith, I think, is, you know, you really, it's that intellectual agreement that, yes, God, I believe what you're telling me. And then the action of doing what God tells you to do. And we've got to be listening to God as well. And we can't listen to God without being in His Word a lot. And we can't listen fully to God without praying with God all the time. You know, if you've got a relationship with someone, and we'll use a basketball coach and a ball player. If you never listen to the coach, you don't know what you're just be doing out on the floor, on the court or the field. You don't know what your teammates are doing. You don't play that with that team. You know, as Christians, we're a part of a team. As a church, we're a part of the local church. And we need to know what God is doing in other people's lives so we can enhance that and encourage them and them do us to the same. So one example, and then I'll close, is I want you to imagine two bridges. One will say Rough Holler Bridge. I don't know if everybody knows what that Rough Holler Bridge is, but it's an old board bridge. Years ago, the swinging bridge down north, whatever that's, Avery Old Swinging Bridge. I don't know if anybody ever remembers that one. But imagine a swinging bridge or an old board bridge, and then Sap Landing Bridge, which is concrete, if you all know what that one is. Both go across the lake. And you're in a semi truck pulling a load of rocks, and you come up to these bridges and you stop and they're both going across the lake, and you begin thinking, well, I know God wants me to go over there because that's the distance He wants me to go, but I can't imagine God wants me to go across this old wood bridge. And you think, well, maybe God wants me to go across this concrete bridge and go way out of my way. And sometimes it's what God says, this is your bridge. Go across this bridge. Trust this bridge. I've made this bridge for you. And you look at it and you think, there's no way that God makes that bridge for me because that bridge is going to collapse as soon as I roll my truck out on that bridge. And many times we ignore what God's calling us to do, and we go on this concrete bridge that looks really good, and we go this way, and we wind around half of our life not following God, wasting time to get all the way over here where God wanted us to be tomorrow. And if we had trusted God, we'd went across that bridge and been there because God had that bridge for us. And so in our life, when God calls us to move and we don't move, we waste our time, don't we? And we affect others around us. You know, imagine that truck being full of food that went across that bridge and these people needed it. How many people died before we got to them? And because we didn't want to trust God enough, even though He said, that's the bridge is for you. Got a big sign up there that says, this bridge I made for you. We think, nope, I don't believe that. But many times we waste our time. And so this morning, you know, as I close, I want to bring it back to my assumption. Most everybody here has probably accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And you're in that boat. And I ask you, how many times has God said, get out of that boat, move, do something. I got something greater for you than that boat. And we've sat back and said, I don't trust that I can walk on that water. I don't trust that I can step out. And what you're saying is, you're not trusting the God that died on the cross for you and gave you the ride in the salvation boat anyway. And we need to be careful about that. And we need to begin to have those little moments of victories of trusting God. And because what as we trust God in the small things, we begin to get bigger things that we're trusting Him, and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then we get to places where, wow, Noah was just like me, and God promised me things and delivered to me just like He delivered to Noah. And we need to do that, and we need to step out. So this morning, as I wrap up, ask yourself, what has God been calling you to do? And it doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. I mean, Sarah had kids at 75 or however old she was, I think. And so God, as long as you're here breathing, God's got a plan for you, no matter what that is. And when we don't follow that plan, we affect others around us. It may be getting up every morning and praying for every member of this church. It may be getting up every week and calling every member of this church and the ones that's not here saying, hey, we've missed you. Where you been? And as a church, you know, and I know you're looking for a pastor, and it's like, where do we go as a church from here? What has God got in store for us? Well, how can we step out in faith and truly do something here in Elkton for God? And what does it take to do that? And sometimes we have to get in His Word, and we just have to spend time with Him and listen to Him. So, Ronnie?